Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for fire. Now hear this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as we listen to these words, particularly the descriptive words of this coming counselor, this coming Savior, this coming Messiah, will we understand that these words reveal the truth that existed from time in the beginning until the ultimate reign of Jesus here on earth. These are majestic titles of our Lord Jesus Christ that can really be applied to no one else. Jesus, the pre-existent Son of God, was born into a human family so that he might become the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor, one of the most popular words today in the Western world is that of counselor or counseling. There are millions of people who are seeking counsel of some nature. I've always been amazed at the people that other people go to in order to receive advice or to share their most deepest needs. Each person seems to identify with a different person in order to do that. And they want to have some counsel of some nature, some sharing, so they can understand what's going on. When we couple this science of psychology that's developed over the past number of years against the backdrop of the world in which we live, where there seem to be a great number of problems going on and a lot of individual problems, we see where more and more people seem to want counseling of some nature. Quite a number of years ago, a New York City newspaper, the New York Herald Tribune, undertook a series in their newspaper, and it was called How Mentally Fit Are We New Yorkers? Now, that would be the city of New York. And I think there are a lot of people who would think you cannot possibly be mentally fit if you decide to live in New York City. There are people in Campbellford who feel you cannot possibly be mentally fit if you decide to move to Toronto. That's just the way they happen to feel. You can tell people who really love Toronto with a great deepness of their heart whenever they go to drive from this side of Toronto to the other side of Toronto. They have amazing adjectives to use to describe what's going on with the traffic in Toronto. However, this was a five-man team over an eight-week period of time when they studied New Yorkers, and you'll be absolutely amazed at the outcome. The outcome is this: only one out of five were mentally well. One out of five were mentally well. One out of four were so psychologically disturbed as it impaired their social relations. And then all of the rest had some symptoms of psychological illness, but these symptoms did not interfere with their daily life. Now, since it seems that there are a lot of people for all kinds of reasons seem to be suffering from psychological difficulties of one nature or another, and they seem to be seeking counseling, the question that was going through my mind, and the answer is obvious, do you suppose that our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, the one who loves us all, do you suppose that he ever anticipated that there would be a time when people would require counsel? And do you suppose that if God ever anticipated it, which he does, he did and he does, that he would send a counselor, one to whom we could go to receive the kind of counsel that we required, not necessarily the counsel that we might receive from others, but counsel that we needed to receive? Well, Isaiah the prophet, he made it clear that one was coming. The one who was coming we know as Jesus. And we know that Isaiah the prophet used the term wonderful counselor. Wonderful counselor. In a moment, we're going to take a look at the attributes, two attributes of this wonderful counselor. It'll be an attribute of wisdom and an attribute of knowledge. But before we get there, Isaiah said his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. The majority of Bible scholars these days are quite happy with the combination of the two words, wonderful and counselor. Many of the older translations had it as two separate titles, wonderful, comma, counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But when we think about it, taking wonderful and counselor, one a descriptive word of the other, is really quite acceptable. And when we think about wonderful counselor, what does the word wonderful mean? It means inspiring delight, pleasure, admiration, extremely good, marvelous. All of these words applied to Jesus. Listen to it. He is inspiring, and he is an inspiring delight. He, Jesus, brings great pleasure. He is greatly admired, at least by those who accept him as Savior and Lord. Those who don't know him as Savior and Lord have other words to use, some of them derogatory, some of them they just don't know. But for believers, we think of Jesus, our counselor, our wonderful counselor, as being absolutely wonderful and marvelous, extremely good, absolutely marvelous. This is Jesus. This is who Jesus is to every believer and what he means to us. I don't know how many get the daily bread. If you don't get a copy, there's always one in the vestibule for you to pick up and take home with you. The daily bread, little daily devotions, are filled with little bits of wisdom. They're just little chunk-sized pieces, bite-sized pieces, so that you can think about it each day. Earlier this week, there was a wonderful daily bread article about independence and dependence. Now, when we become married, husband and wife become married and have children, then when the baby comes into the world, the baby is absolutely 100% dependent upon its parents, absolutely dependent. And then as time goes on, they become more and more independent. In fact, we hope they get to the point someday where they will be totally independent. One teenage boy getting ready to go off to college said, "I am just looking so forward to becoming independent, but I need your help to do so." And that's true. He needs his parents' help in order to become independent. Now, that's what happens when we are physically mature. We are able to become independent and live on our own. But the wonderful contrast in this article was the more mature we become spiritually, the more dependent we are upon Jesus. Every situation, we talk to Jesus about it. We look to Jesus as being our counselor. We know when we accept Christ as Savior into our life, he comes in by the power of his Holy Spirit. We learn to lean more and more on the advice of God's Holy Spirit. We need to learn more and more on the advice that we find in the Word of God. That's what believers do. That's why we study the Word of God. That's why we come together to worship. We come together so we can hear about the Word of God, so we can worship him, so that we can become totally dependent upon Jesus. Do you ever want to measure your independence or measure your dependence or measure your Christian maturity? If you want to measure your Christian maturity, it all boils down to this. How dependent am I on Jesus? Do I go to Jesus every time I have a minor or a major decision to make? Do I talk it over with Jesus? Do I wait his word, either in our mind, through the work of God's Spirit, or by reading his word? Paul said this, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor?" What an interesting two questions. I think what do they call it? Rhetorical questions? Is that what they're called? You don't need an answer. The answer is obvious. Who has known the mind of the Lord? No one knows the mind of the Lord. Or who has become his counselor? No one. God in Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He needs not a counselor. He's the one who counsels. There are three theological words that are often used to describe God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Those words are omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Omnipresent means he's everywhere present. Incidentally, Satan is not everywhere present. God is everywhere present. He's omnipotent, absolutely powerful. No one, nothing is more powerful than God. And then omniscient, that's a word we don't use too often, but it means he's all knowledgeable. So hear what Paul says in Colossians. My purpose is that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Christ is the mystery of God, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in Jesus and revealed to those who put their trust in Jesus. Not revealed to those who don't put their trust in Jesus. So two attributes of this our wonderful counselor, Jesus. Number one, Christ is full of wisdom. We know that 2,000 years ago, 2020 almost, thereabouts, Jesus came to earth as a baby in Bethlehem. And very soon we'll be celebrating his birth. And we read these words, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature in favor with God and men. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. Even at 12 years of age in the temple, he confounded the people in the temple, the priests and the rabbis, with his knowledge at age 12 years of age. He grew into from a baby to an infant to a child to a teenager to an adult. Jesus grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor. James says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. When we think about counsel that goes on in the world today, we discover it's in stark contrast to what the heavenly wisdom would be, in stark contrast to what Jesus, our wonderful counselor, would give to us. Heavenly wisdom is not tainted by worldliness or selfish gain. It's not contaminated by our own ideas. It's characterized by the life and the light and the love of God. And here's a word of caution. Perhaps at one time or another, we all think that we need some counseling of some nature. Let me tell you, go to a Christian counselor. Do not go to a non-Christian counselor. Why? The reason is, while some non-Christian counselors may have some very good advice, they do not look at life through the eyes of the Word of God. They do not look at life through the eyes of Jesus as our wonderful counselor, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord. They do not look at the advice that they're going to give to us, if we're going to try to get advice from them, that would be true to the Word of God. So let me give you a question that you can ask if you ever should find a need to go to a counselor. Now, I don't care if it's a professional counselor, somebody within the congregation, one of your pastors, whoever it happens to be, that you're going to that person as a counselor. Here's a word of advice. The word is, and a question that you can ask is the advice that I have received, is it true to the Word of God? Is it true to the Spirit of God? If it is not, do not follow it. Now, of course, you need to know the Word of God in order to understand whether or not it is true to the Word of God. Some years ago, I was counseling a young couple, and they had their idea about what should be done. And I made the comment and said, that's not quite what the Word of the Lord tells us. The answer was, I don't really know what the Word of the Lord says, and I don't care. This is what I want to do. Their choice, their decision, they did it. But I'm going to say it gently, they were wrong. They were wrong because they were not following the advice of the Word of God. It's not my advice that's important. It's the advice of the Word of God. And whether or not we can identify with the Spirit of God. My I think my battery has just died, so if you turn on the pulpit mic, please. Thank you very much. So this is very important. Go to a Christian counselor or to someone who will advise you from the word of the Lord. James reminds us that God's counsel is peace-loving. Think about Jesus. Think about the times that he said, I bring you peace. Think about the times when he said, go in peace. Jesus brings counsel that will give peace to your heart. I believe, you've heard me say this, that God's Spirit lives within the life, the heart, the mind of every believer. And I believe that every believer is to be a peacemaker. Not a peace breaker, but a peacemaker. I believe that Christians, wherever we are, in the work setting, in the family setting, the home setting, the social setting, wherever we are, that God has placed us there and that he can be used through us. He can use us to bring peace to that situation. We are not ones that ought to go in to stir up a hornet's nest. We are not ones to go in to cause division and cause difficulty. As peacemakers, we are to go in and we are to listen to the voice of God. We are to pray. We are to rely upon God's Holy Spirit. And we are to reach out in peace and we are to be the peacemakers. The scripture says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the children of God. You and I have been commissioned by God for us to be a peacemaker. We'll praise God. Now hear the words of Jesus. Jesus says, go in peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These are the words of Jesus. These are the wisdom. Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom, and he is apply that wisdom to you and to me. It's available to all of us. James reminds us that our Savior's peace is considerate or gentle. It is submissive, thus making us willing to yield and not argue. It's full of mercy, good fruit. It's without partiality. Jesus was and is easy to approach. He was and is the perfect gentleman. He will not force himself on you, but he will make himself available to you. And Jesus not only forgives our sins, he regenerates our spirit. Now listen to this contrast. In the place of hatred, there is love. Jesus' wisdom applied to you and to me. God's Spirit in you and in me. God's Spirit implies and demands that in the place of hatred, there is love. In the place of sorrow, there is joy. In the place of unrest, there is peace. Did you know that it's absolutely impossible for we as humans to be impartial? We just can't be. Our environment, our culture, our upbringing, our thinking, our training, we are not impartial. But Jesus is. You and I do not know the motive of another person, but Jesus does. So when we look to Jesus for his counsel, it is absolutely perfect counsel. It is perfect wisdom that he's given on to us. Our love, our concern, our peace, our approach to people has to be absolutely sincere. I love the use of that word, sincere. It comes from the Latin. And when we look back at its history, there's a little dispute about this, but I'll go along with this that I've researched. The word sincere was developed in those times. You remember that the Romans had marvelous statues that they would carve. Some of these statues would be huge and lifelike and some much larger, and others smaller statues that you could take home and put in your living room or whatever. Now, sometimes there'd be flaws in the white marble statues. And the wise or unwise Romans would put wax in the flaws. If there was a crack in the statue, they put wax in there. Of course, being in Italy, being in Rome, being in a hot country, when the statue was out in the sun, the wax would melt. And when it melted, it would show the flaw in the statue. So, artisans who did not want to cheat the public, artisans said they put the word in Latin, sinceris, on a sign in front of the statue. And it meant without wax. Without wax. There were no flaws in this statue. It was absolutely genuine. No hypocrisy. Absolutely sincere. Without wax. And that's what it is with you and me. That's what it is with Jesus. Two attributes of our Lord Jesus. One, Christ is full of wisdom. Divine wisdom, which he passes on through his Spirit to you and to me, we need to be open to it. And secondly, Christ is full of knowledge. But I want you to listen about the knowledge. My purpose is that, says Paul, they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely, Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you want to know what the ultimate wisdom of God is? It's all revealed in Jesus, the one who has all the wisdom and all the knowledge. We know that wisdom refers to spiritual insight. Knowledge in this context refers to the ultimate knowledge, which is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it all boils down to. Jesus not only knows all about us, but he has all of the answers of all our problems and all of our challenges. For in the knowledge of the gospel, there is a solution to every problem in life. And that means whatever problem you're going through, or you're going through, or I am. Every answer is found in Jesus. The darkness of sin is expelled by the entrance of the gospel light. Nathan mentioned this morning that if this room were totally dark and we lit only one candle, it's the candle that will dispel the darkness. It's the light of the gospel that dispels the darkness in your life and in mine. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. In the face of Jesus. We've been observing the attributes of our wonderful counselor. This wonderful counselor is none other than the Son of the living God. Jesus by name, Christ by title. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Redeemer. Jesus, your Savior. Jesus, your Redeemer. Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before Christ's birth. Isaiah did not know the timing. God knew the precise timing. Jesus came as a baby in Bethlehem, grew in stature and wisdom, became a man, and fulfilled his ministry by dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding his precious blood for the remission of the sins of humankind, but more importantly for you and for me, your sin and mine. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our wonderful counselor. His attributes include his wisdom and his knowledge. All of his wisdom and all of his knowledge are there for our absolute benefit. Some of you will know the name George Mueller. George Mueller was a Christian evangelist in England over 200 years ago. Remarkably, this one man looked after 10,000 orphans during his lifetime. He was a man who depended upon the gift of God for absolutely everything, including the meals and the orphanage. He and they prayed, and God heard and answered their prayer. But he wrote this: He, Jesus, is counselor to the Church of God. You and I are part of the Church of God. He will direct you, and if you wait believingly, expectingly, you will find the waiting is not in vain, that the Lord will prove himself a counselor, both wise and good. So my question to you, the question to me is, who is your counselor? Are you maturing in the Christian walk? Are you maturing in the Christian life? Have you reached the point of maturity where absolutely everything that happens, you are dependent upon Jesus? Our Father, we praise you and thank you for who you are, who our Lord Jesus is and what he has done and is doing for each of us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior. Thank you for being the Lord of our life. And thank you for being our wonderful counselor. In your name we pray. Amen.